All right, I want to share with you something. It's not from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not my love chapter anymore. I think you learn about that. But with the Christmas spirit, I'm going to share with you about the Christmas theme. And the title of the sermon is A Christmas Story According to Jesus Christ. We heard about the Christmas story according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We heard Christmas story according to some of the pastors, some of the leaders, some religious leaders. But sometimes we're wondering, what is Jesus really saying about the Christmas story? What did he say about himself? What is Christmas all about? Now, you probably know Christmas is not originally started with all these cards and gifts and all that. We just make up. And we spend so much time busy, so much time giving, thinking about buying gift, and we forgot all about Christmas. And when it's over, we forgot all about it. It's just like we sweep it under the rug. But prepare ourselves for the next week. We need to think about what does Christmas mean in our life. Now, it's good to have a holiday to remind us what is Christmas all about. And not only that, to help us to share the message, what is Christmas really is. And so open the Bible with me and see what does Jesus Christ have to say about Christmas story. The book I want you to turn in, usually we don't turn and read this text very often. I'm not turning to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want you to turn to the Bible with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, starting verse 5. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5. And I read from the New King James Version. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, now talking about Jesus Christ came into the world, and he said to the people, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Okay? But a body you have prepared for me. And sometimes sacrifice and offering, remember this is New Testament time, after that, he's not desired of all that. And people are still coming, all these sacrifice and offering. But Christ tried to point out, this is outer. This is ritual. You're not really doing it. You're not asking for repentance. Verse 6, in burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure. You know, sometimes God didn't have no pleasure, some of the offerings bring him. Then I said, behold, I have come into the volume of the books, it written of me. The book, the testimonies, it written about me. I'm the one that you come, not the other offering. To do your will, O God. Christ is talking about God. I'm come to the world, have this offering to do your will. Now this is the purpose Christ coming to this world. This is the purpose of Christmas. Now probably strange to you, but that's what it is. This is the purpose Christ coming here. To fulfill the offering, or if you will, is talking about paying all the offering have been done. And also to do God's will. I want to share with you here the three things that we can see from these texts. Number one, we can see all this offering, we can summarize down, is Jesus come to this world to die. Now, you probably heard about that. You know about it. And sometimes we take very lightly. It's okay, he come to die. But could you imagine how Mary feel? How she feel? To bear a child and my child will die? Some of you are mother here. How do you like God say that you were born a child and he will die? It's not very good news. It's not good news at all. It's not due to Mary or any mothers. Not good news to you at all. But that's what his purpose. He born to this world to die. Die for himself or die for you and I. He come to this world to die. I want to share with you the story. Some of you heard some years ago in 1988, when the story of the family Ayala lived in Walnut, California. You know where in Walnut? And that's where the family start. And they both parents have a daughter named Anissa. And Anissa is a very good student. She do very well in the school. She on a soccer team. Well, by the time of 16 years old, that she feel very fatigued while she playing soccer. Well, they went to the doctor and check it out, and they find out that she have leukemia. And they don't know what to do with it. And they ask the doctor, what can we do? Can we save her? And say, it's almost impossible. If we don't get someone to donate blood, there's no way. She can only live up to 3, at the most 5 years. You can see how devastating this family is. I have only one daughter. And see that is a wonderful life for this daughter who's grown up to be. And husband and wife say, figured out, you know what, we need to find someone to help our daughter. And they tried everything. So no one donated blood to match with her blood to get bone marrow transplant. And so the doctor said, you know what, maybe you have another child. And hopefully, maybe the same blood type will come out with that. And what is the chance? And as a parent said, probably less than 20%. Well, they're better than nothing. And the parents think about it, and they're going to have a child. Now, it sounds easy, but mother's already 40 years old. The dad already 50 years old. And they already have a surgery that not going to have children anymore. And here they have to undo all that, whatever, to have children. And make a long story short, they have a child. And it's a girl by the name of Melissa. And after 3 months that child was born, they tested the blood, exactly the blood type with Anissa. So Melissa was born, and Anissa's have the disease. They have to wait for another year to order to have a bone marrow transplant. And that's what they did. And after they did that, a few years later, Anissa feel better and better and feel well. Now the story, you understand that Melissa was born to save her sister. You see, my friend, Jesus was born to save the human race. You got to understand that. He was born. If he was not born, if Christmas was not happen, we were all doomed. We were not going to live. That's what the Christmas story is all about. Jesus Christ come. When Christmas story comes, you don't not only think about how she born in this earth. How did the wise men come and how the shepherds come and worship him? But we have to see, Father, the purpose Jesus Christ come is not desire you to worship him, but to understand he come to save you and I. He come to die. The more I think about it, if I have my child to die to save someone, then I can really understand what Jesus Christ come to this world for. Remember, from the foundation of the world, the book of Revelation chapter 13 verse 8 say, Jesus Christ died from what? From the foundation of the world. The day, the minute that Adam and Eve commit sin, Jesus Christ commits himself to die for the human race. Before you and I were born, before you and I were sinner, Jesus Christ made commitment to die for us. Point number two that we see from this, that all this burnt offering and sacrifice is to pay the sin that once made. And so Jesus Christ came here to pay for our sin. Because we know the result of sin is death. From the book of Romans chapter 3 and chapter 6, sins is leading to death. You and I could not have eternal life. Jesus Christ foresee that. And he could not stand to see you and I will miss out in heaven. He make a stand. He make decision to pay all of our sin. Every single bit of sin. Now, you might not ask for it, but He did anyway. Out of His own love to you. Now, again, to pay for our sin, and sometimes we take sin so lightly, we don't know how bad is sin. Just think about one thing you did, you're gone forever. One mistake you make, that's it. You never see another light on this earth. But Jesus Christ bear all that, that you continue to see hope. That's why today people commit suicide because they couldn't find hope in this world. But Jesus Christ come here to say, I have died for your sin. You still have hope. But some people still not believe in it. Some people think, no, how can Jesus die for me? How can I have hope in this world? That's why people take their life away. And before that, they might take other people's life away. Just like the elementary school in Connecticut. People don't see Jesus on a Christmas day. Now, how do we understand this story more? This is a story to illustrate this. Sometimes ago in the war time, there's a Russian army, and a young man joined the army, drafted the army, and his father knew some of the leaders. And so put this young man and start not going to the front line to the final war, but he can work in the office. And this particular office, he work as a treasurer. Take care of all the finance of the camp. Pay salary all the soldiers. And so this is a greater responsibility than he can do it. But he tried anyway, and they believe in him. Anyway, he collects so much money, and he don't know what to do with it. And one day, he starts to gamble. And he lose all that money. He lose all the money. He don't know what to do with it. Well, a call from the headquarters, they're going to come out and to audit the book and see how he's doing it. And he was so worried. He said, what can I do? How can I show all this money? And he pulled out all these notes that he have to pay all these soldiers, all these bills. And he pulled out of his pocket all these change. And he said, you know, no way. All these debt, there's no way I can pay all this. And you know, when you commit a crime like this, it's desperating in an army like this. You can put jail in for life, you know. And so he cannot stand this idea. He cannot let his parents know about it. And he looked at all this debt, overwhelming. And see, the best thing he could do is kill himself. But he took out his piece of paper, write all the things that he did. And he write all the note that he have all the debt they have. And he write down there, this is my debt. Who can pay? Who can pay for this debt? A great debt, who can pay? He decided that by the stroke of midnight, he will pour the revolver out, place right there, and take his own life. As he sit there in the camp, dark and cold, the light's quite dim, he think about life, and suddenly he drove off and falls asleep. Well, the leader is supposed to come down to take a look at the camp. He came early, he saw the camp, and he says, some light is still on the camp. He walked by the camp, he saw this gentleman, this little boy. He said, you know, why you have this light on? He walked in there, and he probably going to wake up this boy and say, turn off the light and go to sleep. But he saw the note right at the desk, right all the problem he have, all the debt, what he did. He gambled, he lose all the money. And the last two lines say, this great debt, who will pay? Well, that leader know what happened, and his name is named by Nicholas. So he decided to write the word Nicholas under that line. The great debt, who will pay with a question mark? He's right, Nicholas. Well, this young man woke up sometime 1 or 2 o'clock and said, he woke up, what? The stroke of midnight already went off. I have not committed my life. And he said, you know, I'm going to take care of this before dawn. And as he about to take his own life, he saw, look down the note, he saw the word Nicholas. I said, what? Someone must have stepped in this room while he fell asleep. And this, he looked up, who is this? And look at all this paperwork. You know, this man come down and tried to audit his book by the name of Nicholas. And you know, he saw that note. And he decided he's going to wait until the morning. See what happened. Well, the morning someone bring money, exactly how much he have lost, and give to him so he pay all the debt. My friend, this story teach me a lesson. Sometimes we have so much debt, so much sin in our life, and we say, God, so much this sin, this great sin, who will pay? But Jesus Christ say that before you take your own life, he write his name down, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will take all that sin, he pay in full. My friend, that's what Jesus will do for you. Doesn't matter how bad your sin is. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. What doesn't matter what mistake you make. He said, I have paid for all your debt. Do not take your life. I wish that some people in this church will understand this on this Christmas season, so they would not make mistake by end of life. They will not make mistake to destroy the family. They will not make mistake to destroy everything that they have. But they turn to Jesus, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I thank you that you pay all my debt. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus Christ comes to this world to pay all our sin that we can have eternal life. Why should we cut our life short? He already planned the picture for us. He have a place in heaven for us. He have built a mansion for us already. Why do we cut our life short? Why do we let go? That's what Christmas is all about. Number one, that he born to die. Number two, he paid in full. And point number three, Christmas is here. What I mean by that? That people think Christmas is in the past. It's not. Because the text say that I'm here, I come. I'm here with you. Emmanuel, I be with you. It's present tense, everywhere, every time. That means Christmas is not in the past, it's now, and it's in the future. If we understand Christmas right, we have to understand Jesus is born to die for us every single day. He paid for our sin every single day. And he continued to do that until he come again. Christmas is now. So many people talk about Christmas in the future, a story in the past. It's a wonderful story. No! Jesus Christ want to tell us Christmas here, that we need to understand this. He is here, is present, is real for us. And this point in the Hebrews say, Jesus came to do his Father's will. What does that mean? His Father's will is what? To reconcile you and God. To embrace you back into the family. Because we are lost in this world. We doomed to die. Jesus Christ come as a mediator to bring us back. That's what God wants. For God so loved the world that he sent his own begotten Son to bring us back home. That's what it's all about. He wanted to do that. He wanted to do his Father's will. Now, this Christmas season, what is God's will for our life? Should Jesus do his Father's will? Do we do our Father's will? What did Jesus have to go through? You see, if you love me, you carry the cross every single day. Deny yourself. Let it go. Don't let this world to pull you down. Don't let everything in this world to obstruct you, the light of God, the light of Christmas season. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't see that light. And Jesus Christ coming here. Whatever the temptation from Satan tried to obstruct the view and the will of God. But Jesus Christ determined, my focus is on Jesus, on God. My focus is to do His will. And that same focus is with you and I on this Christmas season. Are we to do God's will? God's will is not you for you to make money in this world, to own as many things in this world. It's God's will to let it go. When you let it go, you actually are free. And you belong to God. Let it go. Focus on Jesus. Self-denial, let it go. Carry on the cross every day. That's what God's will for you and I, to carry the cross every day. Deny yourself. And come and love others and care for others. Now, Jesus Christ, the text touches my heart every time I read. It's John chapter 15. I think this very text summarizes everything about what Jesus is all about. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this. That means there's no greater love than this. You can describe any love in this world like this. What is this love? That to lay down one's life for his friend. Now Jesus Christ said to his disciple, and Jesus Christ said this to you and I, there's no greater love than Jesus Christ had laid down his life for you and I. There's no greater love. That's what Christmas is about. He come here, he's willing to lay his life down for you and I. So what is his will for our life? Same thing, we need to lay down our life for others. Maybe that's the same sin as Jesus Christ, to, you know, that we can pay other people's sins. But say, we need to lay our life down to care for other people, bring blessing to other people, think about other more than ourselves. That's what Christmas season is all about. This was God's will for our life. Because when they see us with fully love, then they know you are my disciple. That's what the Bible says. If you love one another, then the world knows you are my disciple. You want to be his disciple? You want to be God's disciple? That's what Christmas is all about. The best gift you can give is not to love by buying presents. But the best love, to share about the hope of Jesus Christ. Man, I can buy a present for someone, like my children, next week the toy is ruined. Right? If I buy chocolate candy for my wife, you know, 1 month be gone. But I give the best present about the life and death of Jesus Christ and hope in the future of Jesus is last forever into eternity. That's the best gift. That's the best gift. The Christmas season, that's what Christ wants us to know, share. The best opportunity to talk about why Jesus Christ came to this world. He's born to die, to pay in full, and to be present, to bring a gift of eternal life. Now and forever. As we step into the Christmas season here, let's think about that. Let's be different from the world. To run here and there, to decorate things, keeps yourself so busy. By the time you know the Christmas is over, and you did not know about Jesus Christ or even share Jesus Christ with someone. Right? It's happened to so many seasons. Let not this one go by without doing something to bring blessing to others. May God bless you.